Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Hello everybody to a new episode of Ich gehe in Führung. As you all know, we are doing this podcast in three different languages, so I'm swapping languages and introducing you to a very interesting person today. As you know, I believe that everybody of us has a story to listen to. Even if you're the president of America, and I'm sure he has a big story, or you're just a normal person that enjoys life, we all have a story to listen to and to learn from. But this podcast is also about people that inspire me. And some people have a story and some people have a very interesting story. And I was in a beautiful event a couple of weeks ago, an empowerment woman event from my beautiful friend Medit. And there were lots of amazing women and it was a very inspiring day. But I was impressed by a woman there. She was so bright and looking differently and so open and in a way of craziness that I thought, oh, who are you? And then she introduced me to me and she introduced herself and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I actually don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, what? How can you even say that? And then I said, what is your profession? What are you doing the whole day? Well, cannot even say it in a word. And then I was like, okay, that woman I have to have in my podcast and I have to listen to her and she has to tell me a story. And I'm so excited to announce Mor Eini. She told me that I can say she is a director of strategic partnerships and she will explain now to us how she came to this word, this profession in this way. Hi, Mor.
Hello. Hi. Good to be here.
Nice to have you. That was a long introduction. No, I'm sorry.
For me, it was very interesting. I'm always curious to see how other people introduce me. So thank you, Franca. It was a very nice and kind introduction.
Yes, I know that we have our own perception of ourselves, obviously, and sometimes we are surprised about the perception of the others, no? And I think this is a beautiful thing also, as we can do sometimes just say what we perceive when we meet people. Hey, I like your energy, or that was a good comment, or so empower each other instead of creating distance. And you gave me that feeling that you allow me to come close to you. So I'm very curious about your story. So what was now to give the listener a little bit more information more? Tell me, what are you doing?
Most important question.
Because I was talking with my kids about you and I said, because we're looking like, do you going to be a lawyer? Do you going to study medicine? You're going to be a businessman. And I'm like, oh my God, there must be somewhere out there. And I live in this bubble in Mapea and I think maybe I'm out of this business world and I don't know what opportunities you have as a young woman and a young person. And you gave me this openness, this, wow, there is so much out there and you don't have to frame it, name it, put it in a box always. So tell me exactly, what are you doing?
Before maybe I will tell you what I'm doing, I'll tell you what I love doing.
Good.
I'm very passionate and curious like you about people. And in everything that I do, this is what's guiding me. And this is my GPS. My GPS is always to work with people, to understand how I can, how I can introduce people to one another because I believe there is something they can benefit from one another. And it doesn't have to be transactional. It can be an interesting story or a comment or a feedback, but it can also be partnership, commercial partnership or investment. or hiring. And at very early age of my life, in a very young age of my life, I saw that whenever, you know, my parents were inviting friends and the kids of the friends, I was always sitting with the grown-ups, even as a little kid. Even when I was like 6 or 5, since I remember myself, I was always more curious about the conversations of the grown-ups and of the kids. And I think that's maybe something that sticked with me. And it's not that I know exactly, okay, this is, I'm a lawyer, you know, there is a very specific, or I'm a software developer, there is a very specific kind of like path that I will have. There is something very frightening about it, because, you know, my parents don't even understand what I'm doing. And sometimes I'm like, okay, what I'm doing, but I know that there is something that guiding me. And every time that I'm in a crossroads, I'm always asking myself, okay, can you here fulfill what I think is my value to the world? And it's to bring people together. So I hope that was provided maybe a little bit more clarity, although I know it sounds still a bit very amorphic, but we can take it there.
No, we go into that later. Very beautifully said. In our first talk, before you tell us a little bit where you come from, because we can hear you, you are in Berlin right now, but you speak English with me and you're an international crowd. You're from Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will tell us a little bit how did you come to Germany and how was life in Israel? One thing you said, and you mentioned that when you were a little kid, you were always with the adults. You said in our talk before, I'm looking for questions. Well, I think that's such a great, I'm always asking questions. And I think people lose that passion of asking questions. They're just so pushy to talk about themselves instead of just asking questions, because that tells a lot about you also without talking about you. So what is that about? I'm looking for question. Was that as a child also there, I guess, when you were sitting beside the adults?
You know, I think you have really brilliant questions, because my father, I'm the kind of like first kid. And my father, in general, in my family, my mother was working very late hours. My mother always used to make more money than my dad. And my dad was the one that actually stayed with home with us and was helping us with homework. He was also working shifts. So we spent a lot of time with my dad. And he's still talking about it when I was a kid. And we used to kind of like go hiking somewhere and traveling. He said that since I was a little kid, I was always asking him so many questions. Why is it red? Why the tractor is like that? Why is the plant like that? That's kind of like the kid that I was. And I think I'm still is. I'm very curious. And I find that in questions, and in my opinion, the most important skill we have as human beings, and I think now with the age of AI and ChatGPT and everything coming, we see even more than ever how important it is to ask good questions. Because even if we ask, you know, ChatGPT a question, if we don't really know what we want to ask, the answer that we will get, maybe we won't know how to use it. And also we will get the wrong answer to what we're looking for. So I think that the fact that someone can ask good question also means that this person have a very broad interest in many, many, many different topics. And to be able to take all this kind of like curiosity about the world and different topics and put it in one simple question and one simple sentence with a question mark at the end, in my opinion, it's the brightest and that's the most important skill that we can have. And once kind of like I was working most of my life in the world of venture capital. And for people that don't know, venture capitals are companies that basically they have money, sometimes of corporates or companies, but some also private individuals to invest in technological companies, in startups. And the role of a venture capital or of an investor is to ask questions. We call it due diligence, the founders of the startups. So we will know, should we invest here or there? And as an investor, you have this kind of like sets of questions. This is what I need to know. This is what I want to ask. And it put you in a very, very, very structured, and in my opinion, very narrow mindset of what are the questions that I need to ask. And sometimes, in my opinion, we didn't even listen to the answer because we just wanted to ask the question. And for me, in the minute I realized that asking the same question over and over again and not getting any different answers means that maybe I'm not serving my purpose. And that's for me. And always when I get to this point when I'm like, okay, there are no more questions to be asked, or I feel that my mind is like, no more kind of like have these inspirations of questions, exactly like numbing. This is my time to move on. So I'm passionate about questions. And I think questions, and I will talk later about what I do today, but in the community that I'm part of, in my opinion, the questions that people are asking are much more important than the answers they are getting. And they can give people the understanding of the mindset, but also of the challenges that other people are experiencing. Because if we think about it, when I'm asking a question, in a way I'm discovering, I'm kind of like sharing, or I'm discovering some pieces of myself that allow you to understand more where I'm coming from, what I'm curious about, but also what I'm afraid of or what's my challenges. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, question is the kind of like one of the biggest mysteries of human nature.
Beautiful way of explaining it. So tell us a bit, in which company are you asking questions today? And what was your path a bit from Jerusalem? I guess you were born in Jerusalem, right?
I was born in Tel Aviv, yes.
In Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then I hear words like Telekom, Facebook, Springer, Uber, Bertelsmann. I hear all these top companies. And then I see this very young, red hair, inspiring, beautiful, different woman that I think, okay, how does this woman fit into Bertelsmann or into Springer? You know, but it's only my own perception. Eh? I have no clue. Maybe Springer is full of people like you. I don't know. So tell us a bit who you consult right now and what was a little bit your way from Israel to Berlin.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I love the way you framed it. Where are you asking questions right now? I think that's something we all need to ask ourselves. Where are we asking questions right now? Whether it's in our relationships, friendships, work, financial. I think in every aspect of our life, we need to ask questions. Maybe I will start with where I am right now.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm part of a very small and intimate community, originally from Switzerland, founded by a man that I really appreciate. He's an author named Rolf Dubelli. And 20 years ago, he was also asking some questions. And one of the questions was, how can it be that our world becoming so complex that still business and scientists are thinking in silos? Where they can find this place, this one platform that it's very intimate, where they can ask each other questions. And also, sometimes I think we understand that we're speaking in different language. And it's not about the English or German or French, but there is something in the terminology that we're using or the meaning we're giving to words that can be very different. And when I'm saying, I don't know, artificial intelligence or the psychology of human beings, we're talking about very, very different topics or very different kind of like mindsets. And he decided to bring his kind of like friends, I would say, to a bar in Zurich and told them the only rule, you need to talk to someone you don't know. And it was a small gathering of scientists and business people, CEOs and investors and families that came together to talk to one another. In the past 20 years, the community had grown step by step in a very organic way. And that's what I love. Without kind of like big campaigns, actually nothing is being recorded. Everything is Chatham House rules to allow people to ask questions in a very safe and comfortable environment and to be curious about each other, about topics that they know, but most important, where are the black spots, the topics or the kind of like issues that they don't know anything about. And I feel like the inspiration, and in my opinion, this is where the magic happens. sometime, I think for myself, we're all having very, very kind of like stress lives. And you feel like, okay, if I think more about it, and I will kind of like you get stressed because you need to do this presentation. And I feel that if we are sometimes trying too much, we are losing all the kind of like the different ways and channels that the inspiration can come from. And for me, I'm getting inspiration from anything. It can be going to a museum or to kind of like a small art exhibit. And I don't speak German, but I'm going to German theater because sometimes that can come from there or from the people around me. And I'm going clubbing because, you know, also music can bring you a lot of inspiration. And either it's just like having coffee somewhere that not in my usual coffee place. And I think inspiration is sometimes a big word, but you need to do really, really small, something small and a bit different. And the inspiration will come in ways you don't expect. And I think sometime when we're letting go of something and then we're like, oh my God, you know, this kind of like it hit me in when I was taking a shower, it's exactly because of that, because there is something we're letting go of. I'm director of partnerships at World Minds, this small Swiss community that in the past 20 years grew. And it brings together the brightest minds in their own fields from science, business, geopolitics, and the arts. So we have brilliant people that they're kind of like the top of what they are doing. And the beautiful thing is to see a Nobel Prize winner asking a prime minister a question. And a big kind of like a well-known worldwide investor asking a young scientist a question about women fertility and age of longevity. And it's to bring people together that usually don't ask one another questions, because usually what we used to see, a journalist will ask a prime minister, a business will ask startup. And suddenly when you're doing this kind of like we in German or in Hebrew or in Yiddish, we say mishmash. I think this is kind of like where, you know, your brain is like exploding. And what I do is to identify those kind of like brilliant people from the world of business, that they are curious individuals, and most important, that there is interdisciplinarity in the way they do things. And that's what I love the most, to identify them and to see whether our community would be a good intellectual oasis for them, where it's a place that they can put their phone aside because they know that everything that they need to get for their soul and also for their mind is there. And sometime when I'm being asked what's in it for me, I know it's not the right person for the community. Because this place can be nothing and it can be everything. We have people that form the band together. We have a former prime minister that structured the education system because of an encounter with someone from the community. But if you're not getting inspired from different topics that necessarily outside of your comfort zone, then we are not a place for you.
Amazing. We have actually the same word, mishmash, in German as the Hebrew, as we all
Exactly.
are connected, come from the same roots. There is a language above language.
Exactly.
This intellectual mishmash is an amazing space to find place for the unknown, not have resources from the known, how I think life works. So have access to the space where it's unknown, where it's fear, where you say the black points, where you enter into this. And I'm very curious about that. Companies like big names like Facebook, Uber, Telecom, that they pay for this kind of approach, where you normally think, well, we are all people. Why don't you just talk to him? Why don't you ask him questions? We limit ourselves so much, and then we need a person like you, as strategic generalist, who increases partnerships, to encourage them to ask the question they are needed to enlighten the black spots. I think that's amazing. So, where do you think more come? How was your path as a little girl, then leaving Israel and coming to Germany, which can be also maybe a little bit intimidating for the parents to say, why are you going to Germany? And then they even don't even know what are you doing. So I would have, as your father, You've been asking questions, being very curious what my daughter is doing there, and so on. So, how did you lead your life from there to here, and how do you feel in this environment today?
Yeah, I think first of all, to answer kind of like the first part, I think one of the most scary things, or the something that we really kind of like fear of, and it doesn't matter if we are CEO of a big company or a student in university, is to make this step to someone we don't know and to say, "Hi, nice to meet you." And that's why, and I'm asking people, you know, about people are afraid of the word networking. When you say
Crazy.
networking, you have this feeling in your body that you're like, you know, it's kind of like it makes you feel uncomfortable. And this is why people are not talking to one another. There are so many books. I'm reading a lot of books, How to Talk to Strangers, and the art of kind of like bringing people together. And I feel like sometimes it's like sports. The most difficult thing is to put on your sports shoes or your sneakers and to leave your house. If you did that, you're already there. It's half of it. Just to make this step towards someone, and I think it's not only physically, but also mentally, say, "Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Mor Franca." This is the most difficult thing. And I'm very privileged. That I enjoy to do that. For me, to kind of like make this small step towards someone, it makes me, I'm excited for that because I know I'm going probably, as you said, to meet someone new, to learn something new. I will probably get kind of like a new insight or a new inspiration. And that's kind of like where I like to do it. And what I have in my, I think that's kind of like something that it's very difficult for me to explain besides this feeling, but I have this kind of like box or this kind of like folders in my head. When I meet someone, I really try to understand where this person is coming from, what's kind of like the challenges that she or he are facing. And I believe that we as humans can kind of like help, support, match one another. And then I put it in my folder in my head. And then maybe a week later, maybe a year later, I will meet someone that maybe can be a good partner, match. And then I will be like, "Oh, okay, I know someone. Maybe you should talk to one another." And I think I have the, in Hebrew or Yiddish, we call it the chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
The chutzpah. You go to big, small companies. And to tell them, this is what I think you need to have. And it doesn't come with just like a lot of like, you know, confidence. Yes, I'll show you all the things you don't know. I think it comes from something inside of me. And I think we all have it. When we know we are in our element and we feel it in our guts, this is what I need to do. And in my life, I heard so many no's. And I so many like, "Okay, we don't need it. We will call you." I remember that I was even having eight interviews for a company, and they called me and they told me, "Listen, we think you're a good fit, but only in 98%." And I had all of those things, but I think there is something inside of me that is really afraid of feeling that I'm not doing what I need to do. And this is this kind of like place that I bring people together. I bring people with technology. I bring people with other people that can might become strategic partners for them. So I can talk a little bit about kind of like where I started and about my background. But at some point in my life, I realized, okay, I love to work with people, but there are so many ways that you can take this thing of saying, "I love working with people. I love to connect people. I like to bring people together." You can do it as a teacher. You can do it as a nurse. You can do it like you, Franca, as a coacher. You can do it as a therapist. You can also do it as a hairdresser. For me, I love bringing people together to fulfill their strategic, commercial, needs, wants, desires, and to connect technology to people and to kind of like the financial means. And that's what I love doing. And that's what was guiding me in my life. So I was, my dream as a kid was to be an ambassador. And I,
you are.
After I was, yeah, but you know, I think sometimes you have those kind of like titles, you know,
yes.
That was my dream. And I think the way we're doing that, just changing the shape of it. You can be a ambassador without a title. You can be, I don't know, you can be
a healer.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had a very, we call it kind of like the very typical Israeli way. I was born in Israel, in the desert, in Sde Boker, where I kind of like, I spent my first years of my life. And then I, like every typical Israeli, I joined the military. I was an officer, a human resource officer. And I remember at the age of 17, the military is, you need to do some tests. And the military is telling you, okay, based on all the data that we gathered, this is what you need to do. And they assigned me to do, to be a kind of like, to work with computers, to do kind of like, to be like a technical computer. And I remember, maybe was the first moment of my chutzpah, I kind of like stepped into the kind of like manager of the kind of like where you, the manager of the human resource unit. And I told them, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I cannot sit next to computer. I need to do something with people. And then he told me, okay, I think that what I suggested before, that was a better option, but go. And then he gave me this kind of like, and that kind of like maybe guided me. So I was a human resource officer for, I think, over 1,000 soldiers, and meaning to manage the daily asks and the daily tasks, and to be the right hand of the officer in the same base, which was somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I joined an officer's course, and I was always kind of like passionate about structuring and about how you can actually connect with people and to allow them or to provide them with a platform to kind of like put them or fulfill the positions that, first of all, that the organization need, mm-hmm. that will be a good match to their skills.
Yeah.
And as you probably know, humans and people, sometimes unpredictable.
Thank God.
Sometimes they're not moving in the way we are thinking
will. Thank God.
I think that's true.
Oof.
And I think our world will be very, very, very sad place.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we will all be the same, we will all think the same, and we will all do all the things that we are expected to do.
Yes.
And then after serving 3 years in the military, I actually went traveling for 8 months in the US and South America, came back, and my parents told me, that's it. Now you're going to a university. The minute I landed at the airport, it was like, okay, now you need to do something with your life.
I thought you were saying, now you have to marry.
No, that came after that. After school and after university, that's the marriage part. Usually that's where it starts. And I wanted to be an ambassador. So, you know, I went to university and I decided to study international relations and Middle East studies, because that's where I live. That's where I'm coming from. That's also my background. At the first class at university, the first year, first thing on the morning, the kind of like the professor of this kind of like of international relations stepped into the class and said, hey, all of you that are here, because eventually they want to become ambassador, I can tell you right now, this is not what's going to help you. You can be a dentist and be an ambassador. So if that's your dream, it's better for you to know now, it's not going to happen from here. And I sat in the class and I looked around me and I saw so many surprised faces. And I told myself, okay, I'm not the only one that had this dream. There are so many other people with this dream. But then I thought to myself, I'm actually curious about this and there is nothing else I want to study. I'll stay here and it will be fine. But I think at that moment, I had this kind of like maybe switch in my head that I don't need to be better, I need to be different. And that university, with all due respect, and I really hope I'm not insulting anyone, is not the platform that will give me or provide me with the skills that I need to have in order to do what I want to do, which at that moment was to be an ambassador. And I've decided to kind of like use my university years as a great place to explore, to experiment, and as a platform to get to anywhere. As a student, you can do student jobs, you can try. I tried so many things, so many positions that eventually I decided that I don't like. But I think it's in these years, it's more important than to understand what you don't like. I was doing a lot of experience. At some point, I realized that I'm not going to finish my 3 years of kind of like the degree. And I decided to extend it. And I actually finished after 4 years and not after 3 years. Because I really wanted to kind of like have a taste of what it is to work in the real life, what are the skills that I need, and more important, who are the people that I need to meet. And I was always passionate about this kind of like, as I mentioned, people, but also about other cultures. I really saw myself as someone that kind of like enjoyed this like traveling. I was traveling a lot back then, and to somehow connect these kind of like worlds together. And I looked at kind of like the students around me and the student union, and just I got a lot of opportunities to be in a student delegation here and there. And I told myself, okay, I cannot go to all those kind of like delegations. I cannot travel like to all those kind of like opportunities, but there are so many other people that can do that. And back then it was the early days of Facebook, but people kind of like still use Facebook. And I decided to open a group that called students going abroad, and just basically throw there all the different opportunities that people shared with me. Delegation here, delegation there, grants here, grants there. And I invited people and I said, okay, if I can do it, someone else probably can do it. And after, I don't know, a week or two like doing that, I got a call from the student union telling me, hey, Mo, we saw what you're doing. I think you should come and do it for us. And I think also it hit me that moment that, as we said before, it's not about the title. Do what you think you need to do without any expectations that, you know, some you'll get money for it or you'll be famous, just because you enjoy doing that. And just kind of like roll this ball, this kind of like that the universe,
yes.
I don't know if to call it karma, but it's just like, I feel like the only thing we have to do all the time is to keep, is to keep changing and to keep moving, is never to stay in one place, because I think that's when we kind of like, we are, I don't think we are never staying in one place. We're actually going backwards. So they called me and I said, yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I love what to do that. And now let's do it as part of the student union. And it was kind of like the first, I think, taste that I had that I can actually create the role that I want to do. And I can actually maybe kind of like also imagine myself in a place that I don't need to fit myself into a specific kind of like position or all those like titles that sometimes you see. Because the world is much more than that.
Yes.
And if I'll do what I love, things will happen. It might be very, very difficult. And believe me, there are some times in my life that I was crying and I was saying to myself, why I cannot just fit myself into this specific category. You know, I got so many no's, and it was always, for me, it was always like, you know, comes with a lot of challenges and fears and low points. And, but you know, I think all of those things kind of like guided me to be, I guess, where I am, and to create for myself the role, or this, not even a role. I think we are creating our own role, this kind of like platform that I can really contribute from my skills to different organizations, companies, people, so on and so forth.
What a beautiful story of finding or following your inner purpose from the inside out without reaching out for the outside, filling the inside. I think this, you need to be very curious. And I hear this little more that was already very curious when she was with daddy walking around. And then where? And then this sentence is that it's not about I don't want to be better. I want to be different. So where that resonates very with me. So where does that come from? I want to be curious. I want to be out. I want to follow my inner purpose. I don't want to limit myself. I leave the structure box of Israel, maybe getting married, having a good study path, you know, fulfilling mommy's or daddy's dream or Israel's dream. I don't know, society's dream. Yeah. And living and following this inner calling, being different, making a difference in people's lives by connecting their skills on a professional level. Where does that come from? That sounds to me so confident, naturally confident, but you already shared that you had downs many times, that you didn't give up, and that you are still, we're all in that process all the time. We are infinite in that. Where does that come from? What do you think? Comes that from grandmother? Comes that from raising? Was that a natural thing that God gave you? Is that your DNA? Where comes that from?
I wish I could. Yes, exactly. I feel like I think there are some things that we don't know. And I think that at some point in life, you learn that the only thing that you can trust on is yourself and what's inside of you. And I'm saying it now after, as mentioned, years of kind of like doubting that, you know, I'm in the right place, that I was making the right move. So after graduation from university, I actually was really kind of like trying to see or to find out what I want to do. I'm so thankful for all the experience that I had at the student university. I was in a very critical time in the kind of like I would say in the not in the life, but in the process of the Israeli economy, thanks to the kind of like startup boom. And a friend of mine sent me this kind of like job description, something about automotive and cars and technology. And I looked at the job description. I said, "What's in it for me in cars? I'm so boring. I don't care about it." And I was back then kind of like also interviewing for one of those kind of like big consultancies. And I'm like, maybe that's what I need to do. But I said, I will apply anyway. And I think this kind of like choice, and it was a very kind of like, in my opinion, it was a very intuitive choice back then to go to something that is unclear, but you can really feel just from reading the paper and the job description that they themselves don't really understand what they are looking for. But I could kind of like see myself in this paper. And I knew I will have more flexibility. And there are a lot of things I can say about myself. I need to have flexibility in my life and the way I'm living and the way I'm kind of like also at my work. And this kind of like a thing that I was applying for was actually the early days of the automotive and smart mobility kind of like trend back then in Israel. It was back then, a couple of years ago, when we just heard of Mobileye, and it was just after Google acquired Waze. So it was a very, very critical time. And the interesting thing about this time is that there were many, many, many software developers and many people that came with the army with a lot of kind of like technical skills. But we know it, and that's why I'm saying I need to be different and not better. Most of these people, they don't have this kind of like human interaction. And eventually, science, like in technology and like in anything else in life, you need the funding to do something. You need the help of the network. You need to get to the right person. And I started with really building this kind of like beautiful community that brings together founders of startups from the world of mobility and automotive, together with investors, together with the academy, with universities, together with industries, to create this kind of like beta sites for startups or technology companies in this specific field in Israel, and to position them and to position Israel as this kind of like innovative thinking mindset in this world. And today, when I'm saying that and I find it so interesting, people are not having those question marks for them. Okay, of course, Israel is like leading in technology and innovation. But back then, and I'm talking about like 8, 10 years ago, it was quite weird. I mean, if you're thinking about automotive, it's Germany, right? It's the German car industry.
What's in
it for Israel? The only car Israel was ever manufactured was a car in the 70s made out of fiberglass, which people thought it's a food for camels. Like, what's Israel and technology and innovation in the automotive? And I remember the first year of this job, I had to call investors and tell them, hey, listen, we have this like great pitches of startups from the automotive. And they used to tell me, huh? Automotive? Israel? I'm sorry, it's not interesting. And you know, I got all those like people kind of like hanging up and saying not relevant. And the year after, I was organizing the investor event and it was sold out. People were standing, you know, like those big investors calling me, asking me for more tickets.
Wow.
And I think that's when I realized that sometimes that you're doing something, you know you're on it, but sometimes it can also come in the wrong timing. And timing, when we talk about everyone are saying kind of like success and luck, I don't believe in that. I think success or luck is coming from hard work and to be on the right timing. And it needs to be a little bit before this kind of like hype. You need to smell it in a way. And that's also kind of like what led me to understand that, okay, you can hear no now, but tomorrow this no can be something completely different. And I saw companies with like, I'm sorry, lousy decks going to pitch. And the day after, suddenly they got 100 million euros because they were in the right timing. And I met like Uber when they just kind of like came to Israel and we were thinking, okay, what can we do together? Back then, Uber was like not really, like no one was really talking about shared ride. And I met like big corporates and I met the advisor of Angela Merkel that back then came to Israel to look for startups in the world of security in vehicles. And all those companies that actually now we also hear about them, you know, I met them long time ago and I was amazed to see how much this kind of like not being better because the Israelis and not being different, not being better. The Israelis were never competing German cars, but they say we need to be different in this kind of like car. There are so many things that you need. And if you think about it, about the process, and now we see it with Tesla, the process that the cars were going through, it became from an hardware, meaning like the technical, the pieces, to more software. We really care what we have in the car. We sit with Tesla. And this kind of like shift in mindset happens so fast that I think also for myself as an individual, I told myself, okay, this mindset and shift can happen very, 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 very quick. And it's after doing that for some time and working a lot with different companies, I was kind of like maybe a little bit naive, which is good. I was telling myself, okay, I'm doing that for 2 years. I felt like I know everyone. You know, I made those like really cool introduction. I started to write myself to whom I introduced, what was the outcome to actually be able to take this soft thing. Sometimes I think it's like considered to be soft because you don't see numbers on it. And that's something very, very important to understand how you translate soft skills into numbers to quantify it. And I told myself, I think I need to be on the other side of the table. And I want to join to be an investor. I want to see it from an investor point of view. And I want to work for a corporate. And I didn't know much about it, I have to admit. I didn't know much about what does it mean to being an investor? What does it mean to work for a corporate? But that was something that was guiding me. And I was talking to people. And then I met this kind of like... a friend of a friend, and she told me, listen, I'm actually going on maternity leave. I'm working for a German corporate. Back then, I didn't even know what is the name of the corporate. I can tell it's Deutsche Telekom, but as an Israeli, Deutsche Telekom was a big name of a company I don't know much about. She's like, I think you would maybe fit for this position. Let me talk to them. And I told myself, okay, it's taking a risk because it's a very temporary. She's going on maternity leave. To work with Germans, I never did it before, you know. Also, my English was a kind of like, fluent, I would say. I still have my Israeli accent and I speak with my hands. And also, I never sat on the investor chair before. What does it mean? But I said, okay, let's give it a try. And I was kind of like doing these interviews, these processes. And also one of the things that was very important for me, and I think it's something we're not discussing much, especially for women, I thought I need to earn more money. And that was a crucial point when I said, I'm not earning enough. I need to earn more on what I'm doing. This is my worth. And I told myself, there are three things that are important for me, and these three things stayed until now. It's the challenge, it's the people, and it's my salary. And not necessarily, I would say, even in that order, but those are the most crucial elements in everything that I do, and they need to come together, that will also guide me. And I was having this kind of like interviews with a like the German manager and so on and so forth, and they were asking me question as an investor, what you would ask. And I had no idea. Back then, we didn't have ChatGPT. I was like, you know, thinking to myself, what are the questions that I would ask if I would have to invest my money in a company that I don't know? And then after some time, they called me and they said, okay, we want you to join as a kind of like lead the investments of the seed investment vehicle of this company, Deutsche Telekom in Israel, meaning helping them to find Israeli companies to invest in them. And then after I spoke with kind of like the person that recommended me, I asked her, I was the only one in the process of interviewing? And she looked at me and she said, what? We were interviewing people for 6 months. We were interviewing someone with MBA from Harvard. Like, why do you think,
wow.
Like, why did you say that? So I told her, listen, I'm not coming with a lot of experience. She said, yes, but like you came with such kind of like a different observation. And she told me something very significant. You came with a background and you knew everyone in the automotive world in Israel. And back then, Deutsche Telekom, especially what they were doing, they were looking very much to create this integration with automotive and smart mobility startups. You knew them all. Even if you are not, you know, coming from financial background, but what do you need? You need this connection to people. She said, and then I also realized it's again, being in the right time, in the right place. It doesn't matter, you know, that I didn't came with like more sophisticated kind of like a financial analysis. I knew it. I knew the people that they were looking for to meet. And I had this ability to actually reach out to them and to find the best companies to invest in. And even now, the best companies, the best founders, you don't find them in the newspaper. You find them only when you're talking to people and when you have network in the right places or different networks, not even in the right places, different networks. And then I think I also learned that moment that my network is my net worth. There is a value and there is a I cannot put a number on it of my network. And this value can come in many, many, many different ways. But this is, again, what's in it that is a bit different, not better.
Yes.
And that's kind of like how I started my kind of like career, shifting more into this kind of like investor mindsets, working a lot with technology companies and making those connections. Startups and founders, they need money to actually move. And this is what I was doing. I was actually going, listening, talking to founders of startups, then taking it back to Deutsche Telekom, pitching it and try to find a kind of like suitable way that we can either collaborate with them, that Deutsche Telekom can either collaborate with them or invest in them.
Wow. It's a long, beautiful path of finding strength and worth in yourself and in your skill. Is there any... As we are already, I could listen to you hours more. And as I know, for podcast listeners, we are already in 50 minutes and sometimes people just, you know, can't listen anymore. So we keep on because just so much fun and we don't have to be as usual, everybody, as we can hear. Just a little two questions at the end. What does more when it's not going, when this intuition and this, What are you, it sounds also confident and trusting and falling and coming up again and never giving up and giving a try, being curious. So what happens when more can't anymore? And it's and do you think like how do you guide yourself out of that for giving us a little skill of tool of what we can learn from you?
I wish I could say yes, I'm just listening to myself, I'm doing meditation and everything's fine. No.
I assume it's something different.
No. No. I had a I think kind of like everything that I have, it doesn't matter if it's like personally or professionally or financially, it's something I created myself. And I think it takes a village. In the past, I would say 2 years, I was losing 30 kilos of my weight. I started to work out, which is something I never did before. I'm having a therapist once a week. I am having a nutritionist. I have a financial advisor. They're all women, by the way.
Yes.
And it's not because I said, I want a
No.
woman. I think there is something about creating yourself a village of women as a support system. And a support system doesn't have to be, I'm paying the support
Yes.
system. But I think for good things, you need to pay.
Yes.
And it also means that you are serious in the process and that you commit.
Exactly. That's well, I'm always saying a coach is always I have my own coach. It's a man, but it doesn't matter. If I want no
It
matter.
doesn't matter.
I just
Yeah.
have the support and I pay for it because it's as valued as I'm going to the hairdresser or to the gym that I have a mental, emotional support of what I'm thinking, how I guide with my emotions and how I want to see life. It is the best
Exactly.
investment that I could do, and I love to also work with women and to be inspired and supported by the fields that we are not so expert in to focus on what we really want to do.
Exactly. To tell you,
Yeah.
I'm not making mistakes. I'm making
Yeah.
tons of mistakes. I was moving back then from Israel to Germany to Berlin before Berlin was so cool, startups, blah, blah, blah. And people told me, why are you doing that to yourself? I earned less money moving here. I got my position back then. I started with like taking a few steps back. My manager back then, the COE, was like, people will forget you here. Everything is hype. You need to move to Silicon Valley. And that's what I also learned, that sometimes people giving you advice based on the place or based on the kind of like they see life. His dream
Always.
was maybe to move to Silicon Valley. It was not my dream to move to
Exactly.
Silicon Valley. And I think sometimes we also need to be careful. And that's why I'm saying I'm paying my support system, because people will always share with you the way they perceive life from their point of view, but it's not necessarily my point of view. Maybe I made a lot of mistakes. Maybe if I would stay back then, I would get higher salary, better job. I don't know. Maybe I will be like married with three kids and my life would take a totally different turn. Maybe. I don't know. So the only thing I know is that the mistakes I'm doing are my choice. And I think that's what keeps me kind of like, when I know it's my mistake and not someone else's mistake, then I can sleep very well at night. If I would make someone else's mistake, I would always, I always have these voices in my head. I'm like all those voices. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? You are not like, why you try to be fun and it's not. And once I know, okay, this is me more. Sometimes I have like really not great days. Sometimes I'm not funny. Sometimes I'm not that smart. Sometimes I'm not that witty. Sometimes I'm trying to do something and it works completely different than I planned. But it's my mistake. I did it.
Good.
I'm taking ownership on my mistake. And I know also, I think the worst thing you can do, and that I think Einstein said, to repeat the same thing over and over and over again and
Yeah.
expect a different result.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to repeat myself. And I'm really trying, to do the best I can. You said it
Fantastic.
beautiful. Sometimes, I mean, we are here once. I mean, sometimes we
Yes,
forget it.
you forget
We
it.
should experiment, we should explore. And I don't think there is wrong or right or
No, there's
good
no
or
white.
bad.
No, there
No,
isn't.
there is my way. And my way might not be, my parents, I can tell you definitely. They are still kind of like questioning what I do, and I'm also sometimes, and I think it's good to question.
Yes.
But I know, that's my path. It will take me wherever it will take me. It's Berlin or Mallorca, or I don't know, back to Israel, or maybe one day
Beautiful.
I'll get to Silicon Valley.
Yes, you will. You will. If you want, if it's your choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Last thing, more, is there something, because we talk about leadership, is there something that leads you, or a mentor, or something that is above, that is always with you, that you believe in, that leads you, that guides you, that we can learn from?
Wow, what a beautiful question. There are a few things that guiding me. I think there are things that are always changing.
Always.
I mean, sometimes something, one thing is guiding you, sometimes the other thing is guiding you, and you know, changing all the time. There is kind of like, I have this kind of like in my mind, I always say, at the end of the day, I want to go to bed, I want to go to sleep when I feel good. With my choices, with my decisions, with the people I'm interacting with. I want to know, and for me, you know, all those kind of questions and doubts comes before I go to sleep. If I have a good night's sleep, I know
you
that
did
it
it
might
right.
not be like the best day, but I made the right decisions. Meditation.
Yes, I meditate also. So
sports.
Important. Sports.
I'm doing sports almost every day.
Me too, every
day. I'm
my
personal trainer. Especially I'm 36 and I know I will be, I'm single, I have no kids, and eventually I want to have my own family, and I want to have myself a financial, mental and physical health, and a core for that. So like weight training, proteins, I love dancing. I can tell my friend, okay, now we're going to clubbing and we will dance for hours, because I think that brings joy to life. And we need to take ourselves less serious from time to time. And there is also a book that I love, and that's my working book of Pema Chodron. She's a Buddhist nun, and it's called When Everything is Falling Apart.
Wow. What a beautiful end. When I never got so many goosebumps in a podcast, and I did already 34 episodes or something, than in yours, because everything what you said resonates so much to me, how I want to live life and enjoy life and dancing and artistic and being different and thinking out of the box and communication and people and all this and taking care of yourself in a professional way. It resonates so much for me. I am flashed by your inspiration. And this book sounds fantastic to me. I will get it right now. And it's the perfect finish for our 1 hour talk. It's the longest podcast I have ever had, more. And I am sure we can inspire so many people more with so many hours with your knowledge. Thank you so much for your openness, for your transparency, for your wisdom. I wish you all the best for everything what you do in life, what you want in life to achieve. And I wish my daughters will one day be like you, so free. So free, just free and curious about life and jumping into it and enjoying it, and but being also responsible for your own mistakes and your own thoughts. I think this is the tarea, this is the purpose we have to be in this world, to be conscious about our subconscious and live life in a curious, different, beautiful, joyful way. And thank you for this talk, Mor.
Thank you so much, Franca. It was a pleasure.